Now, and let's look into the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, Psalms 100. Bob Gray came up to me this morning. He said this is his favorite chapter in Psalms. So, and it tells us what we need to be doing, not just during Thanksgiving week, but all year long. Psalms 100, beginning with verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Now, it says shout. Can we shout? How many of you shout at a ball game? Do you? Yeah. I talked to Karen last night, and she was telling about shouting and all of this stuff last night. So if we can shout at ball game, we can shout here at church, can't we? I mean, not get carried away and everything like that, but shout. Can we? Amen. Praise the Lord, you know? And that's what it's saying. Shout means let your joy be known unto the Lord. It don't say whisper, does it? It says shout. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. And then it says serve the Lord with gladness. That means be enthusiastic. Be glad. Yes. Who? Okay. She knows what I'm talking about. Come before him with joyful singing, which we've been doing this morning. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. Amen. He is good. And his loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. You've heard me say this before, that loving kindness, which means in the Hebrew, hesed, that it was one of the words that the Hebrew nation, the children of Israel, knew what that word meant, because it means that God provides for their every need, and he did. Even when they was complaining and bickering and so forth, he prepared for them, and he provided love and kindness in their lives. Back when Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States back in the 1800s, 60s. And he was in his office one day, and there was a knock come on at his door, and it was an elderly lady, and he welcomed her to come in, and she was carrying a basket on her arm. And she walked over and set it on his desk, and she said, Mr. President, I'm not here on behalf of someone else. I'm not here on behalf of myself. I've heard that you love cookies, and I have baked you cookies of my own, and I want to give those to you. And she went on and sharing about her thoughts and so forth. And while she was doing that, tears welled up in Lincoln's eyes. They went unchecked. But he listened to it, and he was at the point of being speechless, like I am sometimes, right? I get speechless sometimes. Really. And he said, thank you. I am so grateful. Because he said, there's thousands of people entering my office on a yearly basis, and you are the only one that has entered my office to offer me something without asking for something in return. And I thought, yes. Is that the way the Lord feels about us sometimes? That we're always coming to Him with a list of things? And don't get me wrong, He don't mind it. I mean, that's what prayer is about. But He certainly wants us to recognize, as the Scripture says, who He is. He wants us to praise Him, worship Him, sing to Him, show our gratitude. And if we don't do that, then we're failing in recognizing God Almighty is the Creator of all things. And the Scripture said we didn't make ourselves. If we did, we've been a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? If we made ourselves, of course we couldn't. We don't have the wisdom and the mind to be able to create something so uniquely as God created everything. You know, think about it. Just the little particles of earth or dirt or the things, the grain of sand. Put all that together and God created what we have out of nothing. It was the earth, the universe, the galaxies were void. He made it as He spoke it into existence. And then He decided to put man here on earth and fill us with all the abundance of everything that we are able to grasp with our mind or touch or see or smell. And then all He asks if we show gratitude, gratefulness. And I want us to look at these verses here this morning. Of course, shout joyfully to the Lord. And it's saying all the earth. That means all of mankind. Everything that has breath. You know, the Bible does say, if we don't shout, if we don't show our gratitude, if we don't recognize who God is, the rocks will cry out. Didn't the Bible say that? God will receive His praise and honor and glory. If He doesn't get it from us, He will get it from His creation. And it says in the second verse here, serve the Lord with gladness. How many of us really serve the Lord with gladness? That we can't wait to get to church. We can't wait to somebody to come up to us and ask us, okay, would you be willing to serve in this capacity? And a lot of times we're doing this. Sometimes I have trouble not saying no. Amen. Amen. But you know what? Whatever I do, I'm going to try to give it my best shot in every area, and I want to do the best that I can for God. And whatever we do, it doesn't matter what profession that you have. It doesn't matter what type of work. You can be a garbonic engineer like Carolyn back there, and you serve with gladness. That's her new title I give her. She's a garbonic engineer, which means custodian, but doesn't it sound better? Sound better than me. But we, you know, when we, whatever we do in the marketplace or work, serve God with gladness. Don't go to work or don't go somewhere and just say, I don't like this job. I don't like this work. I don't like the people I'm around or this or that. The Bible says, whatever we do, do it as we're doing it unto the Lord. You know why? Because God has placed you where you are. He can so easily take you away out of that position. Then you would have nothing. That's the way I was back in 19. I'm going back to Lincoln. I wasn't around with him, but I wouldn't have minded. I'd like to have known him personally. But 1983, I guess, when God, called me, sitting at my desk one day, and I, you know, this is after, you know, Brenda and I had already talked about this, and she brought to my attention that God was calling me, and she did. She said, God's calling you. I said, you know, I know, you don't have to tell me. And I was just thinking, all this great, this job I had, it was wonderful, great, just like you had, Shirley. You enjoyed it. You did a great work. And God gave me that job. You know, it just fell in my lap. That's how I got it. And I thought, well, you know, I can either stay here or I can serve the Lord with gladness. So I chose God's direction in my life. And He has never, ever let us down. He's always provided. So you see, it's that mental, it's the attitude. You know, the condition of the heart is how we will be serving the Lord. The condition of the heart. It reminds me when Jesus, you know, when He was in Jerusalem, and there was 10 lepers came to Jesus, and they said, "Heal us, heal us." And Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, and that was condition in those days, they always had to present themselves to the priest because they were considered outcast sinners because of the affliction of the leprosy. So they had to present themselves to the priest in order for him to give them his blessing. And as the Bible says, as they were going, that they were cleansed. Think about it. They were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, it don't say what nationality all of these leper men had, but there were one, I know, that the Bible speaks of was a what? Samaritan, which was normally considered an outcast. He stopped in his tracks and realized that he had been completely healed. He turned and he ran back. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 that he fell on his face. He fell on his face and he thanked Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I often think, if you give somebody $100 and they wasn't thankful for that, you could give them $5 million and they still wouldn't be thankful, would they? And here is one Samaritan man who was healed. 1 out of 10 went back to tell Jesus, thank you. You know, who is it today in your life that you could go to and say, thank you? And I appreciate what Joe said this morning. He was saying, thank you. Thank you. And I can say thank you to all of you for your love and your support of me and Brenda since we've been here, soon be 6 years in December. And I know you're thanking me. And you see, that's what it's about. We are edifying and building up the body of Christ. We're thanking one another. But who ultimately gets all the praise and glory? God does. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. God deserves everything because He has placed us here to do those things that Psalms 100 is telling us to do. We are put here for a purpose and a reason, and if we will fulfill and do the things that the Psalms 100 is telling us to do, then God will be glorified and we will be blessed. And what else does it tell us that we are to do here? It says, come before Him with joyful singing. So we might not can carry the best tune or carry a tune in a bucket, but we are to sing, right? Ken Stewart, who was a music director for the Gaff Baptist Church back when Brenda and I went there, and I was his assistant. And he was always calling people to come up and sing in the choir. And a lot of them say, "I can't sing. I can't sing." He said, "I didn't ask you if you could sing. I just asked you to be in the choir." So maybe, Nancy, that's what you see. That's why Nancy's here. She will teach you how to sing, how to read notes, how to carry a tune, how to make a joyful noise unto the Lord from the heart. And that's exactly what we are to do. You know, King David, what did he do? He gets so excited about praising the Lord that he had to get dancing. And his wife looked at him and said, "You look so foolish doing that. So stop it." And he said, "I can't help it because God is my master. He is the one I worship. He is the one that's filling my life with joy." So, if we could just remember the things that we're supposed to do and just do it, we'll be blessed for it. It says, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We are many, many sheep. And you see, the pasture is a place where he sends us out to graze, to feed on. Places to go to minister. You see, we are his sheep. And a lot of times, sheep, what happened to sheep? They stray, they get lost. Sometimes they just dumb animals, aren't they? Well, are we that way sometimes? I'm not put labels on us, but the Bible calls us sheep. That means we stray, we get off course sometimes. But the Lord has led us out into his pastures to provide green meadows for us to nourish. And the Word of God, you see, when we look at the Word of God, this is his pasture for us to get lost in so that we can find our way, whether it's back to the Lord or through life itself, so we can better understand God's principles for living our lives daily. See, the Bible is the mind of God. And if we could understand the mind of God, then the Bible says that we are to have the mind of God. So if we want to have the mind of God, that means that we must submit our spirit to him each day of our life in the scriptures, in prayer, seeking his will, and therefore we will be like Christ. We will be Christ-minded. That means our decisions, everything about us will be right along with the Lord. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians. No, not 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 12. I'm going to start at verse 12 and read through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And this is Paul saying, and it's talking about the Christian conduct. "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions, and that you esteem them very highly in the love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish and the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And it includes husbands and wives, you know. "See that no one repays another with evil for evil." Now, you've heard the expression, "I don't pay back, I just get even." Well, here it says don't do that. "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Then here it goes. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." And then verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now I want to break this down, this verse 18, where it says, In everything, give thanks. You know that in everything means circumstances in the Greek. Everything, every circumstances, matter good or bad, give God thanks. And it is very hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? To give God praise for all things, whether they're good or bad. But you see, if we give him praise for everything, like Paul says here, and Paul understood that because he went through it himself. Christ went through it, didn't he? He died for our sins, the most crucial death on this earth. Christ, the cross, he died for our sins. And God called it good. And he said, all authority, my son has all authority on earth and in heaven. And whatever he says, whatever he commands you, and Mary, his own mother, recognized that, said, whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. And you'll understand after it's all over why he told you to do it, and it'll be the best thing in the world for you. And if we could understand that, in all things, give praise. If we can't do that, there's something wrong right here. It's all in the heart. And we have a lot of heart trouble in the world, don't we? And it's not always physical. It's all, most of the time, 99%, 9.9%, it's spiritual. And if our nation and if we as a people would just understand that if we would just give God praise and glory in all things, and he will work all things out for his honor and glory, then we will be the best examples of Christ-like people that God has created and placed on this earth. If you want to be that way, you can. You can. Just remember, keep your eyes on Jesus. Allow him to work through your heart and your life, and he'll bring out the best in you. You might not think so. You might, Paul, you know, he said, I'm the most wretched, I'm the terrible, I'm just the wicked of all sinners. But you see what God did with Paul? He completely changed his life. He didn't conform him, he transformed him. Transformed him into what he became. He wrote over half of the New Testament, and he is a testament of what God can do through a man who went about crucifying the church. He's turned his mind, his heart into something, and that's why Paul says, you know, I've been there, I've done that, so don't think you can't do it. You can, and God will bless you for it. So this week, you think of someone that, you know, maybe has done something or it's made an impact in your life. You haven't talked to them or you haven't even thought about thanking them. Be like the Samaritan. That one that went back to Jesus and said, thank you. It'll do more good for you than maybe for the other person because you was obedient to the Lord. If he places it there, do it. Don't wait. So God receive the glory, you'll get the blessing from it. Amen? Amen. And remember, shout unto the Lord, because he is worthy to be praised. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can praise you, and you tell us the right things for us. And I pray this morning that each and every one of us here will examine our hearts and our lives and will do what you tell us to do. Lord, there's so many things that in our life that you have set before us that you're wanting us to do. Lord, just give us the the desire, the unction, you know, it's the motivation, Lord, to follow your precepts and your principles and your commands, and they're for our benefit. They're for our good. And it shows us where our heart is, really is. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, and you've been working hard, you've been illuminating them, preparing their way to walk this aisle, to give their heart and life to you in service, but most of all, that eternal life. Lord, we encourage them to do that, and you plead with them to do that. Whatever the decisions are this morning, Lord, maybe we be willing and open heart. The condition of the heart is where it's all about. We praise you and we thank you this morning in advance what you're going to do in our lives and our service, because we're willing to be faithful to you in our decisions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 341, Lord, I'm coming home.